بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد الحمد لله we've reached chapter 32 in Kitab al-Riqaq of Sahih al-Bukhari and this is a very short chapter as there's only one hadith so we'll cover chapter 32 and 33 today بإذن الله. Chapter 33, Imam al-Bukhari titles it Bab Ma Yuttaqa Min Muhaqqirati Dhunub. So this is the chapter on what minor sins one should ward off or what they should avoid. So here in the chapter title, he says Ma Yuttaqa, which means what should be avoided, what should be steered clear of from muhaqqirat al-dhunub. Muhaqqirat al-dhunub, rather, means those sins that are deemed insignificant. They're deemed not a big deal. They're seen as minor. And I'll read the hadith and we look at a little bit of commentary. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا أبو الوليد حدثنا مهدي عن غيلان عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال إنكم لتعملون أعمالا هي أدق في أعينكم من الشعر إن كنا لنعدها على عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الموبقات قال أبو عبد الله يعني بذلك المهلكات. So this is coming from Ghaylan, who relates from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, who said, and he's addressing people in the second generation. So here he's addressing not the Sahaba, his contemporaries, he's addressing the Tabi'un, those individuals who were either born in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but did not encounter him, or they were born after his passing to Muslims. So these are the tabi'un. He says, you, addressing them, do bad deeds or you commit sins, which in your eyes you deem as tiny or as minuscule as a hair. While we used to consider those very same sins during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as mubiqat. Mubiqat meaning destructive sins. And then Abu Abdullah, Imam al-Bukhari says he means by that al-muhlikat, which is the same thing as destructive, the sins that destroy a person. So what we find in this hadith, although it's we call it an athar, it's a hadith as well, but it's a report from Sayyidina Anas who's telling us about the attitude that the Sahaba had towards sins. Now what we learn from this narration is that there are actually two things going on. There is the action itself that a person does, and then there is the accompanying attitude or state of the heart when it is being done or after it's being done, how they consider that action. So a person could do a sin, but in the throes of passion and heedlessness. And the moment they do it, they feel immense regret. They feel bad about it. They consider it weighty on themselves. They're not happy about what they did. So here you have the action, and then you have the accompanying attitude. In that case, the person is feeling remorseful. That will spur them to make tawbah. But then you have people who do sins, and the sin may be seen as a minor sin, or even a major sin. But the attitude that accompanies it may make it worse because they belittle it. They don't consider it a big deal. Sometimes the attitude itself, which is an action of the heart, is worse than the sin itself. And because it's an attitude of belittling what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam have deemed sinful and forbidden us from doing. This is important to remember because, as we were talking about yesterday, you know, you're in quote-unquote religious circles. It's easy for a person to see that Allah has not tested them with certain sins outwardly, And they begin to look down on those who have been tested with those sins. Meanwhile, they're ignoring the inward sins that may be, in fact, worse than the outward sins that they are seeing from others that make them feel that they're better than them. So when people consider certain sins as minuscule, that elevates the status of the sin, because the belittlement is a sin in its own right. This ihtiqar, or this considering minor and minuscule, it's a belittlement of what Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam considered sinful. So you have the sin and you have the attitude that comes with it. So this is something to be mindful of. Now, I want to quote to you one of the words of one of the authorities and sources of Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar. In his Fath al-Bari, his commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, he often quotes the great Imam and Hadith commentator Ibn al-Battal. And Ibn al-Battal, he comments on this narration and says, "Al-Muhaqqarat in kathurat sarat kibaran ma'al israr." He says that these minor sins that are belittled, when they become abundant, when they become many, they become major sins when a person is persisting on them, right? Minor sins just don't stay minor sins. If the person keeps going back to them over and over again, insisting on them and belittling their status, then they actually become major sins. And in the definition of the fasiq in Islamic law, it's important to know who the fasiq is, because the witness testimony is connected to the person's status. They have to have adala. And if a person is a fasiq, then their witness testimony is not accepted. For the person to not be a fasiq, it means they are avoiding the major sins publicly, and they're also avoiding persisting on the minor sins publicly. So if a person is doing minor sins repeatedly and blatantly over and over again publicly, then that is enough to render them a fasiq whose witness testimony is to be rejected. Now, here, Ibn al-Battal, he narrates, he says, وَقَدْ أَخْرَجَ أَسَدِ بْنُ مُوسَى فِي الزُّهْدِ عَنْ أَبِي أَيُّوبِ الْأَنصَارِ قَالَ إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلَ الْحَسَنَةَ فَيَثِقُ بِهَا وَيَنْسَى الْمُحَقَّرَاتِ فَيَلْقَ اللَّهَ وَقَدْ أَحَاطَتْ بِهِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ السَّيِّئَةَ فَلَا يَزَادُ مِنْهَا مُشْفِقًا حَتَّى يَلْقَ اللَّهَ آمِنًا. So he, Ibn al-Battal, narrates a transmission from Kitab al-Zuhud of Asad ibn Musa, a very early work on asceticism, a narration from Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. So we have the statement of Anas, and now we have the statement of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, who says that a person, a man, may do a good deed, and he begins to rely upon it, and he begins to forget the sins that he considers minuscule and minor. And then he meets Allah and he is surrounded by those sins. He has to account for them. And a person may do a sinful action, but he remains in a state of trepidation and worry over him doing that sin until he meets Allah in a state of safety. So things are not always as they appear. We have to be mindful of that. The next chapter is also one hadith. And the title of this chapter, chapter 33, is Bab al-A'malu bil-Khawatim wa ma yukhafu minha. The chapter on the fact that deeds depend on one's last actions and what should be feared regarding one's last actions. You know, we're fasting in the month of Ramadan. And what time is iftar tonight? 7:27. So let's say you had your suhoor this morning. You stopped eating at 6:10 and you fasted all day long, and then at 7:24, 3 minutes until iftar, you decided to drink a glass of water. What is the status of your fast? It's invalid, because you completed it upon sin. You actually broke it. If you're praying Salat, you're praying Salat al-Dhuhr, and you're in the Tashahud, and then you break your wudu, do you say, well, I did all four rak'ahs, and you know, I was halfway done in the Tashahud, it's all good? Well, no, you broke the Salat at the very end. So the point for Salat and fasting also applies to life, that what matters is what you seal your actions on. We'll read the hadith. He says, حدثنا علي بن عياش حدثنا أبو غسان قال حدثني أبو حازم عن سهل بن سعد الساعدي قال نظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى رجل يقاتل المشركين وكان من أعظم المسلمين غناء عنهم فقال من أحب أن ينظر إلى رجل من أهل النار فلينظر إلى هذا فتبعه رجل فلم يزل على ذلك حتى جرح فاستعجل الموت فقال بذبابة سيفه فوضعه بين ثديه فتحامل عليه حتى خرج من بين كتفيه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن العبد ليعمل فيما يرى الناس عمل أهل الجنة وإنه لمن أهل النار ويعمل فيما يرى الناس عمل أهل النار وهو من أهل الجنة وإنما الأعمال بخواتيمها. So this comes from Sahal ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi رضي الله عنه. He says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم looked at a man fighting against the idol worshippers, and he was one of the most capable people fighting on behalf of the Muslims. This is during one of the battles. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, let him who wants to look at a man from the dwellers of the hellfire, look at this man. So another man followed him and kept on following him until the fighter was injured. And seeking to die quickly, he placed the blade tip of his sword between his breast and leaned over it until it passed over his shoulders, through his shoulders. What did he do? He was wounded and he committed suicide. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, a person may do the deeds that seem to the people as the deeds of the people of paradise, while in fact he is from the dwellers of the fire. And similarly, a person may do the deeds that seem to the people as the deeds of the people of the hellfire, while in fact he is from the dwellers of paradise. Verily, actions depend on their final actions, or the state of actions, deeds depend on the last actions done. The great lesson of this hadith is that the wheel is always turning. You know, there's people, if you've been around long enough, you will have encountered them. People who were seen as the most pious of the pious, very strict, very serious, and now they're gone. They're out. They left Islam. There's plenty of people like that. In North America, there's a lot of people like that. It happens. And what matters is how we end our life. And we don't know how we're going to end our life because we don't know when we're going to die. Now, for that reason, Ibn al-Battal, we just mentioned earlier, he said about this hadith that the fact that we don't know when we're going to die and we don't know the state in which we're going to die is actually a great wisdom. It's a great wisdom because if you knew this, that you're going to be saved, if you knew that you're going to have a good end at the end of life, then you would become conceited and full of yourself and you would become lazy. You know, why bother? You know, I have it made at the end anyway, so why bother doing anything? But if you knew, and if you knew that, oh, I'm not going to make it, then think about it. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Like if a person had some means of knowing that they're condemned to hell, this is all they have. Why not go all out and just oppress people and harm people and get as much as you can and take from others and transgress all limits? Because this is all you have. So no one knows how they're going to die. So there's a wisdom in it being veiled from us. Now, Ibn Hajar, he mentions here in his commentary that Imam al-Tabari relates from Hafs ibn Humaid, who says, I said to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, right, one of the great hadith scholars, he says, رأيت رجلا
قتل رجلا ظلما فقلت في نفسي أنا أفضل من هذا.
He says, I saw a man once kill another man wrongfully. This happens. He says, I saw a man kill someone wrongfully. And when I saw that, I said to myself, I'm better than that man. Think about it. You see a guy kill someone, you think, I would never do that. Therefore, I'm better than him. So then Abdullah ibn Mubarak said to him, أَمَنُكَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ أَشَدُّ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. He says, your feeling of safety and security that you know, you're okay, that's actually greater than his sin. So, you know, the idea that, oh, I'm not tried with that sin, therefore I have it made, that's delusion. You think Allah can't test you? It can't test me? The wheel is always turning. Now, after Imam al-Tabari cites this narration from Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he says, commenting on it, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَؤُولُ إِلَيْهِ الْأَمْرُ لَعَلَّ الْقَاتِلَ يَتُوبُ فَتُقْبَلُ تَوْبَتُهُ وَلَعَلَّ الَّذِي أَنْكَرَ عَلَيْهِ يُخْتَمُ لَهُ بِخَاتِمَةِ السُّوءِ. He says, the reason why this was said is that the killer might make tawbah. He might become a repentant person. And perhaps the one who thought that he was better than him will have a bad ending at the time of death. We do not know what's going to happen, right? There are people who were seen as the best of the best who left Islam, who had a bad end. And there are people who lived lives of sin and depravity. And at the very end, Allah turned their hearts and they came to Islam, or they became more righteous and they left the world in a good state. So one of the best things we can ask Allah for is husn khatima عند الموت. We ask Allah Ta'ala for husn khatima عند الموت, to give us a good end of the time of death and to keep from us su al khatima. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.